qué idea. Will the Senate please come to order? Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll? Who's your one?
Anderson?
Here.
Allman? Here. Ebell?
Here.
Burns?
Excuse me.
Here.
Cole?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
Gary?
Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. Here. We can't move that one over. I'll hit this again. Now try it. You know, I got the magic touch, ladies and gentlemen. Call me computer technology personified.
Roll call for Friday, February 15th. Do you want me to call it again?
Yes. Members of the Senate, because this is the record of the Senate, who's here and who isn't, I'm going to ask the Chief Clerk to call the roll again so we make sure it gets put on that on the journal. I want the journal to be as the very best journal ever written in the state of Wyoming, and I think it will be.
Anderson.
Here.
Allman.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns.
Excuse.
Case.
Here.
Coe. Cooper,
here.
DeCaria,
excused.
Fecht,
here.
Geis,
here.
Hastert,
here.
Hines,
here.
Jennings,
here.
Job,
here.
Johnson,
here.
Landon,
here.
Larson,
here.
Massey,
here.
Meyer,
here.
Mockler,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Perkins,
excused.
Peterson,
here.
Ross,
excused.
Scott,
here.
Sessions,
excused.
Townsend,
here.
Vasey,
here.
Von Flatern,
here.
President Schiffer,
here.
25 present, 5 excused.
Would you please join me in a prayer with Senator Anderson?
Thank you, Mr. President. Heavenly Father, as we gather this morning amongst the yellow daffodils that have been sent to us in recognition of that dreadful disease and cancer. I, as a survivor, along with other side survivors of this dreadful disease for these years today, would like to thank you. Also, Heavenly Father, the yellow daffodils are a reminder of spring, the spring comes promise. The promise of your spring. The promise of your everlasting support and the promise of our salvation. We are thankful for a successful first week. We ask that you continue to guide us in those things pleasing to you as we wait for the upcoming weeks ahead. We ask as we approach our first weekend that the hearing
Would you please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Members of the Senate, our doctor for the day is Fred Baldwin, a physician's assistant who came all the way from Kemmerer to join us. I don't believe he's in the chamber now. He may be over healing the other side of the building. Our nurse for the day is Perry Davison from South Lincoln Medical Center, also in Kemmerer. But they're around and about. Our thought for the day: there is no monument dedicated to the memory of a committee. Members of the Senate, at this point, I would like to yield the floor to we'll do that next. To Senator Bebout. Senator Bebout.
Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the floor?
The floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And as Senator Anderson said in his opening prayer, you know, cancer is just a terrible, dreadful disease. You know, it's a disease that affects so many people in so many ways. It doesn't know whether you're a male or female, how old you are, what nationality you are. It's just far-reaching, and it's something that we as a country, we as a state, we as individuals need to do all we can, in my opinion, to help not only find the cure, which is sometimes so far out there we wonder if it's really possible, but more importantly, we need to really look at ways to prevent it and do what I call diagnostic testing and those kinds of things that I really think make a difference. And somebody that's been very, very instrumental in that is Senator Scott. And today, the Comprehensive Control Cancer Consortium is joining us here in the Senate to recognize Senator Scott's hard work in this particular arena. It's an award that I think is very fitting for his hard work and what he did. And it's not a small award, it's a huge award. Senator Scott is the recipient of the American Cancer Society's National Distinguished Advocacy Award, which is a society's highest national advocacy honor. And I happen to have an opportunity to work with Senator Scott on this, as many, many people in this body did. And of course, without this body, there would have been no opportunity to help people. And so I thank you all for all the people in this state, this country that are affected by this terrible disease, cancer. Today, to present the award is Vice President of Field Advocacy for the American Cancer Society Action Network, Molly Daniels. So Molly, if you'd please come up, and Senator Scott, if you would please come up. Where do you want to do this? Over there?
Is this okay?
Yes, that looks great.
I'll let you tell Charlie where to go.
That's dangerous.
Thank you, Senator, for that introduction. This is really a big honor for me, and on behalf of the American Cancer Society, I am delighted to present you, Senator Scott, with the National Distinguished Advocacy Award. This award is the Society's highest national advocacy honor and is the mark of distinction and accomplishment in the field of cancer-related public policy advocacy. Senator Scott was nominated for the award by the President of the Senate, John Schiffer, last year, and I want to thank him for his recognition of the work Senator Scott has done throughout his tenure in the Wyoming legislature. Over the years, Senator Scott has been a proven champion on cancer and healthcare issues and has positively impacted the lives of countless cancer patients and their families. Thank you, sir. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Mr. President, fellow senators, this is indeed an honor. I couldn't have done the things that were talked about, and I've done the cancer control area, and frankly, I'm proud they've mostly been prevention efforts. Without the support of you all and your predecessors that supported certain legislation in the past, so I owe all of you a big debt of gratitude, and I think we're doing the Lord's work trying to help the people of this state conquer this awful disease.
And thank you, Senator Scott. We do appreciate it. Reading, correction, and approval of the journal. Would the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February the 14th, 2008, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Perkins, chairman.
You've heard the journal report. Are there any objections? Hearing none, the report is adopted. Reports from standing committees.
This is a corrected copy, February the 14th, 2008. Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 51, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Ullman, Cole, and Massey. No, Senators Burns and Mockler, Senator Burns, chairman. February the 14th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 59, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Geis, Hastert, Johnson, Landon, and Von Flatern, Senator Von Flatern, chairman. February the 15th, 2008, Mr. President, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 56, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass. Aye, Senators Bebout, Geis, Johnson, Perkins, and Vasey, Senator Geis, chairman.
Bills on second reading. Senate File 17, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 17, an act relating to school facilities.
We do have an amendment. Second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 17, the Sessions Amendment. Senator Sessions.
Mr. President, I would like to move second reading amendment to Bill 17 and ask for your support. And I want to apologize to the committee chair of facilities. I'm on that committee, but I must have been asleep when this bill came forward because I think it needs a little bit of word changing. Doesn't change the intent at all. It makes it a little bit, I guess, nicer, a little bit less draconian, I guess. On page 1, line 2, the amendment says, it says enforce. I would like to delete the word enforce and insert the word implement. I think that's a far better word for our statutes. And after efficient, I wish to insert the word educationally. And I have to tell you, I guess, coming from where some of us come from, it's just not cost and efficiency. It has to be educationally. You have to put the word education in there so we keep that in front of us and have to consider the educational suitability of what we're doing as well as trying to not limit the costs, but trying to keep a handle on the costs of these buildings. And I agree with that. I think that there have been instances, particularly, and I will say it, in my own county, where this was not done. And page 1, line 9, you delete the word is and insert the word are. And then 21-15-16, upon the school district facility plans, filing with the commission, I would like to insert the word educationally, and so it will read, reduces building and facility inadequacy in the most efficient, educationally, and cost-effective manner. I think that we have to consider the education part of it, and I hope that you will agree with me. Page 1, line 13, I delete the word enforcement and insert the word implementation. I think, again, that's a far better word for our statutes. Page 1, after line 13, B, line 30, I would like to insert the word educationally, determine the most educationally and cost-effective method of remediation of the building. Page, line 39 on C, insert the word educationally again into that so it reads, in determining the most educationally and cost-effective method in meeting capital construction needs. I think we have to keep the education component in that to remind number people and remind people that maybe have not been involved in education and just have looked at it from the outside. Just keep reminding ourselves that that's what we're all about, is educating our kids. Page 2, line 4, I want to insert the community. I think we're, and I know that everything that we're doing, all of these negotiations, we're doing all of these seminars where we're learning to get along and learning to put our views forward and coming to some agreement, but we have to include the community. And I don't think that's a difficulty. I think community has to be involved in this, and I think it really is a mistake to exclude them. Education is a community affair. It affects communities every single day. Line 2, page 5, after efficient, I want to insert educationally again, keeping the education component in mind. Page 2, line 8, I want to delete execute. Again, having been on judiciary, I'm thinking the only time we use the word execute is when we're meeting in judiciary. And so I would like to delete the word execute and insert the word implement. Page 2, line 9, after efficient, I would like to insert the word educationally, and again, keeping the education up front. Page 2, line 10, delete the word enforce, and insert the word implement, because I think we see the word implement in most of our laws on our statutes. And page 2, line 18, delete executing and enforcing, and insert the word implementing. I still think I'm not changing around the fact that the part that our commission will have in this, and we're strengthening our commission's part in the design of these facilities and in these plans, and I agree with that. I think we've lost too much time in not having this in the first place. But I also did this in respect for what a community does and the efforts that a community puts in to their education, because I know, and most of you know, without the community support in anything dealing with education, educators cannot do their best. And we are really now in today's world, it has got to be all of us that does it together. And so I did this in the best interest of making things a little bit less maybe in your face. And so I thank you, Mr. President. I hope we vote yes. Thank you.
Senator Sessions, if you would move the amendment and we'll have it read in.
Oh, excuse me, I thought I had moved it. No. Okay, I move amendment second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 17 and ask for your support.
Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 17, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 2.
Senator Massey. Senator Massey.
Okay, thank you, Mr. President. I would like to divide the amendment with the entire amendment, with the exception of line 2 on page 2 being number 1, and then the second part of the amendment would be line 2 on page 2.
Okay. Senator, you've asked for the amendment to be divided. Part 1 will be all of page 1 of the amendment, and lines 3 through line 13 on page 2 is part 1 of the amendment?
That's correct, Mr. President.
That's divisible.
Okay. And, Mr. President, with regard to division number 1, which is a majority of the amendment as you just outlined it, I consider that a friendly amendment. It certainly keeps with the spirit of what we're intending to do with the bill.
The discussion is on Division 1 of the amendment, which is all of page 1 and page 2, lines 3 through 13. Discussion. Question being called for. All in favor of Division 1 of second reading amendment to Senate File 17, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay. Division 1 does pass the Senate. We are now on Division 2, which is page 2, lines 1 and 2. Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm certainly sympathetic with the intent of this part of the amendment in trying to take into consideration the interests of the community with regard to their schools. I mean, they are inseparable. And I think if we have an opportunity with the amendment sponsors, perhaps we could craft some wording. I'm concerned that it's being placed in this particular part of the bill because it essentially will be directing the School Facilities Commission to always keep in mind the best financial interest of the community in looking at any kind of school facility decisions. And that can really be problematic, especially with the way that we are now funding schools. So if we want them to take into consideration the educational interests of the community, we can certainly find a way of integrating that into the bill. When we're also asking them to take into consideration the financial interests of the community, then it can be problematic, especially for those communities that want to use surplus buildings for community centers and really for nothing that pertains to the educational basket of goods and services. So I would urge defeat of this part of the amendment.
Senator Sessions.
Mr. President, the reason I did the community part in that is I did it because of where we are placing school buildings. I did it because of the roads, the sewers, the water, the whole thing. And I think that we have to take in the financial interests of the community when we do these things, for the simple reason that we do have a part in that now that the School Facilities Commission will help pay for some of that stuff. But I still think I did it, and if I misinterpret it, we can come back with something else for community. But you have to consider the community's part in providing all of those peripheral services for our new schools. And even when we do new schools, or even when we're redoing new schools, as I see on Pershing when we're redoing East. It is a community issue also because of the parking and the roads and some of the other stuff. So that was the reason for doing that. If the wording is not quite right, then we can come back and try to include community in another way. But that was the reason for doing that, Mr. President.
Senator Scott.
President, I'm going to ask for the yeas and nays. Mr. President, it does seem to me this is an important issue. I think the good senator from Laramie County makes a very powerful argument that the more attention does need to be paid to the communities. They've got, you know, all the communities are part of the state, have a financial interest in keeping things economical. They also have an interest in keeping down the costs that can be caused to your local governments with one of these things. I think the bill does call for a balancing, and I think you need to consider all the factors. So I think there's significant money at stake here potentially, and I think we need to pay a little more attention to our local communities in this. So I would urge support for the amendment.
Senator Coe.
Well, Mr. President, I think we have to keep one thing in mind here. The state is building these schools. The communities are not paying for them anymore. I know the good senator from Laramie County over here has good intentions with this part of the amendment, but I'd like to see us defeat this right now and come back and see if we can craft something that fits a little better into the bill. We do talk about infrastructure stuff, I think, in Senate File 22. But I'd ask you to defeat this division right now, and let's try to craft something that's a little bit better.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, schools are part of a community. They're not in a vacuum. I think this is a good amendment, and I would hope we could support it.
Further discussion on Division 2? The question is on Division 2 of Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 17. The yeas and nays having been called for, would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson?
No.
Allman?
No.
Bebout? Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Becht?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Job?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
No.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas? Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Basie?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Schiffer?
No.
Closing vote closed. 13 ayes, 17 noes.
Division 2, which is lines 1 and 2 on page 2 of Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 17, has failed to pass the Senate. Senator Cooper.
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor, please?
Senator Cooper, the floor is yours.
Okay. Mr. President, I'd like to introduce our doctor for the day, who is now here, Fred Baldwin, if you'd stand up, and our nurse for the day, Perry Davison. Perry is the daughter of Representative Kathy Davison, and Fred, of course, is her son-in-law. And they both work at the South Lincoln Medical Center in Kemmer, and they're here today.
Thank you.
Yeah, she does, yeah.
Thank you, and enjoy your visit to Cheyenne. Senate File 17, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 22, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 22, School Facilities Amendments.
We do have an amendment, the Sessions-Job Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 22, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 12.
Senator Sessions.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 22 and ask for your support. Here again, I looked at the word cooperate on page 2, line 12 of this, and we are directing the school board to cooperate. And I thought to myself, well, the school boards are elected officials in their own right. And this goes back to, I guess, my first year in the legislature when we were going to tell the county assessors how much education they were going to have. And the county assessors in this meeting at the Hitching Post said, you can't tell us anything because we are elected officials in our own right. And I'm thinking the directive to cooperate probably doesn't do it. So, I mean, you know, all they'd have to do is pick up a phone and say, well, hello, how are you today? This is what I'm going to do. Goodbye. I don't like that. So what I did was I inserted the word coordinate. Now that means that they, hopefully what it will mean is when the School Facilities Commission comes up with a plan, does these things, that they will coordinate it with the individual school boards. That's all I'm asking them to do, is let that coordination take place instead of just directing to cooperate. So that's what I put in there. I'm just trying to give those people that are the closest to the education of our children a chance to have a word, to have an input into what happens in these facilities. This page 8, line 14, I want to delete the word consultation, and I want to put the word in coordination. I did this because I think coordination is a little bit stronger. I think it says that you will talk to them, you will outline your plans, you will do all of these, that those boards will be a part of the decisions that are being made. And I know now that things are hopefully better, but we can't base some of the laws that we make and some of the wording we use in laws, we can't base it on the fact that the same people are going to be there forever. And I guess maybe it's a reaching out and an including of our local people who really do make our education go forward. And so I would like for your support for this amendment. Thank you.
Senator Cole.
Mr. President, I'd like to divide the amendment. The first division being line 2, page 2, line 12, and the second division, Mr. President, being page 8, line 14.
It is divisible, Senator Cole. We are now on division 1 of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 22, which are lines 1 and 2. Senator Coe.
Mr. President, speaking on and against this division, the way I would read that, if we change cooperate to coordinate, it would say that the Board of Trustees in each school district shall coordinate. That implies, in my way of thinking, that the Board of Trustees are the ones that will dictate and call all the shots as to when they get together. I just don't think coordinate is the right word there. I think the word cooperate is. Cooperate implies that we're going to sit down and figure it all out together. Coordinate implies to me that the Board of Trustees are going to call the shots when and if they're going to do that. So on this particular Division, I'd ask you to defeat this.
Further discussion? Senator Sessions.
Mr. Chairman, I guess the way I looked at the word cooperate was that what choices are our boards going to have once the commission says this is the way it's going to be? What choice are they going to have? It doesn't say that they even have a part in the decision. I'm not asking that, I guess I read it differently. I read it so that it would be a two-part thing. They would coordinate those decisions. And the word cooperate indicates they're going to choose not to cooperate or to cooperate, but they have no say in that decision. So I guess that's why I changed the word. Thank you.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess we find ourselves in a position we often so many times find ourselves in, and we get in a kind of a semantic debate. Yesterday, we used the term collaborate, along with what we're talking about, cooperate, coordinate. And I would simply say in regard to this collaborative process that we're engaged in now between school districts and the school facilities, that in order to have an effective collaborative process, I think that would probably occur more under a cooperative mode, perhaps more than it would under a coordinate mode. So offering that little bit of light, perhaps, I would urge you to defeat this portion of the amendment.
Further discussion? The question is, on second reading amendment, number one, the Senate file 22, division one, which are lines one and two, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Second reading amendment number one to Senate file 22, which is lines one and two, has been defeated. We are now on division two, which is lines three, four, and five. Discussion. Senator Coe.
Well, Mr. President, I don't really have much objection to this part of the amendment, the division here, but vote it up or vote it down, whatever you think's right.
Further discussion? The question is, on second reading amendment number one to Senate file 22, division two, which is lines three, four, and five, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
Division two does pass. Senate file 22, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate file 39, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate file 39, State Miners Hospital Board.
Senate file 39, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate file 48, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate file 48, reporting requirements.
Senate file 48, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate file 53, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate file 53, Common School Reserve Account Funding.
Senate file 53, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate file 55, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate file 55, appropriations for the legislature.
Senate file 55, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate file 57, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate file 57, hospitals, participation in state retirement.
Senate File 57 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 61, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 61, School Finance, Recapture Payments.
61, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 67, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 67, Salaries for Officials.
Senate File 67, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate File 68, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 68, Judicial Retirement.
Senate File 68, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall it be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have privilege of the floor?
The floor is yours, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Just wanted to speak to the point of etiquette that we usually follow here on the floor when we start to do an amendment. And being away for 10 or 11 months, we kind of revisit this issue every time we come back down here. So it's sort of standard. But the point of etiquette is that if you're bringing an amendment to somebody's bill, you should let them know ahead of time. But not only
well spoken, Senator.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, may I have the privilege of the floor?
The floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, in the West Balcony is a group from around the state called Y-Watch. And they're a strong family group. In fact, they believe that strong families makes a strong Wyoming. And I would like everybody to help me welcome them to the Senate.
Third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, consent list for today is Senate File 3, Gaming Fish Funding, Senate File 4, Foreclosure Redemption Period, Senate File 9, State Retirement Board Immunity, Senate File 52, Boards of Commission Compensation, Senate File 6,
would any senator like any of the bills on the consent list removed from the consent list? Let me go through the list again. On the consent list are Senate File 3, Gaming Fish Funding, Senate File 4, Foreclosure Redemption Period, Senate File 9, State Retirement Board Immunity, Senate File...
Brother.
Oh, I can say anything I want there.
Just a second.
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Okay, I'll start again reading the consent list. On the consent list are Senate File 3, Game and Fish Funding, Senate File 4, Fortune Period, Senate File 9, State Retirement Board Immunity, Senate File 52, Boards and Commissions Compensation, Senate File 63, Natural Resource Large Project Funding. Would any senator like any bill removed from the consent list? Seeing none, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 3, Game and Fish Funding, Senate File 4, Foreclosure Redemption Period, Senate File 9, State Retirement Board Immunity, Senate File 52, Boards and Commissions Compensation, and Senate File 63, Natural Resource Large Project Funding. Would the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson.
Aye.
Allman.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Fecht.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Job.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Massey.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Mockler.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Sessions.
Aye.
Townsend.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Schiffer.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. Senate File 3, are there any changes? Close. Geis, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 3, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 4, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes. Senate File 9, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 9, 30 ayes. Senate File 52, are there any changes? Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 52, 1 no. Senate File 63, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 63, 30 ayes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 3, Game and Fish Funding, Senate File 4, Foreclosure Redemption Period, Senate File 9, State Retirement Board Immunity, Senate File 52, Boards and Commissions Compensation, and Senate File 63, Natural Resource Large Project Funding, have passed the Senate. Senate File 11, third reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 11, Subdivisions, Large Acre Parcels, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, being enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
We do have an amendment, the Larson Amendment. Would the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 11, Third Reading Amendment Number 1, page 4, line 24.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move Third Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 11 and ask that you do pass. Fellow senators, I bring this amendment predominantly for one purpose, to show you what we're doing and what we've done here in trying to do a bill to overlay on top of things that are already there. And I think we're going to have, I'm going to refer to it as a trial lawyer's retirement bill. If I will call your attention to the bottom of page 4, line 23, that they shall, the developer of a piece of land shall provide a minimum access right-of-way of 60 feet. And that's fine. I don't have a problem with that for a public road. But if you have a piece of property, and there are many, many hundreds throughout the state, where you do not have an access, your only option is to go to the county commissioners and ask them to establish you an access. We had a bill about that very subject that we discussed earlier, where the county commissioner can now have that remanded immediately to court, don't have to rule on it. But in that section of the law, it says, and I'm quoting, the proposed road shall not exceed 30 feet. So in this particular case, unless one of his neighbors wants to do that, he cannot obtain a right-of-way any greater than 30 feet, but this legislation is requiring 60 feet if he's going to develop. Now, I frankly think 60 feet should be probably all right, unless that isolated parcel is only going to have a few lots put on it, or maybe five or something. But I think this is an example of where we are inherently going to have a lot of problems with an overlay of this legislation, and I think the cause is very, very good. I think it's something we need to address. But there are other things within there also, Mr. President, that are going to be, to use the attorney term, arbitrary and capricious. I go to the bottom of page 1, where an individual piece of land where the subdivision creates, not all the land in the county, not on a countywide basis, but on an individual basis. I would suggest to you that that's going to be permission by personality rather than having to treat everybody the same. That's another subject. I'm not going to get into that. But if we don't pass this, an individual with a piece of land that is isolated, does not have a roadway, has absolutely no way on our conflicting statutes of ever developing that piece of land. Now, maybe we should change the other statute to 60 feet. I don't know, but I don't think so. I think this is still the proper way to enable it to for the smaller developments that are there to be able to do that. There are many other things within this bill, Mr. Chairman, I think are going to result in the same kind of ambiguity, different rules for the when we're overlaying that. But in this case, I believe if you do not adopt this amendment, you will have immediate situations where if a landlocked or a non-access piece of property, and again, there are hundreds throughout the state, cannot get access, he can never develop that property. So I would ask you to, and that is, again, as you see, only for a private roadway, which if it's developed, the county isn't going to take the road anyway. So I would ask you to support it.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess just a question, and along that same line, in Fremont County, I'm not totally sure I'm right, but I believe I'm right, They choose to have a 50-foot easement for all roads that they do in a particular subdivision. This is going for a regular subdivision where you plat it and go through the county and come up with your subdivision, and they require 50-foot of right-of-way. Now, if you have that, and then you go to a subdivision is between 35, say it's 60 or 70 acres, and you're saying you'd have to have a 60-foot right-of-way for that. So is there a conflict between what the county now does for 50, which makes a lot of sense because you have some of these subdivisions in forested areas. Why do you want to cut all the trees up with a small road anyway? Why have 60? I would even argue that 50 is too much. So now what does that do to the fact that they've chosen 50 and this says 60?
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, and Mr. President, on and against the amendment. With respect to this conflict that exists between 60 feet being required for subdivisions already in the law, and then the provision that when you condemn a right-of-way, you can only condemn 30 feet. Actually, there is also 40 feet. That is an intentional piece of legislation that has evolved over time. And the reason sort of goes like this. The private road action is a condemnation mechanism. It is an easy, simplified process. And I'll assure you that if you're having a road condemned across your property, you will not feel at the end like you've got adequate compensation. But we've set that to ensure that ranchers and people that have remote properties or need to condemn a road through their neighbors can get access to their property. When we revised the private road statute, this exact issue came up, and the consensus of the committees in the legislature at that time was that people aren't getting adequate compensation to condemn for subdivision purposes. And it makes a tremendous difference when you condemn a road through your neighbor, whether you're condemning for your private use for three or four families to go through your property, than to have somebody condemn a road through your property so it can run a number of vehicles and traffic through so they can develop their property. So right now there is an equilibrium that exists that you can condemn for your private use because you're only going to get 30 feet. But you can't use the condemnation statute to condemn under our present statute, a right-of-way through your neighbor's ranch to subdivide your property because the compensation's not there. And it's a huge difference if you're sitting there with a ranch and your neighbor comes through and says, I want to condemn through your property. I don't want to pay you very much compensation. And by the way, I'm going to do it so I could subdivide my property and triple the value of it. And now you have to, and I've got occasions just in the last 3 or 4 years where folks wanted to not only condemn it, but go right in front of your home, right through your meadows. Right now we have an equilibrium, and the sponsor of the amendment is absolutely right. The way the law exists right now, that if you want to get access through your neighbor to subdivide, you've got to negotiate, which means you're going to have to pay fair compensation. And you cannot resort to condemning your neighbors a road for 30 feet and only paying him the cost of, you know, $600 an acre, when in fact it reduces his value substantially because now he's got a thoroughfare through his property. If you want to take a look at the statutes, fine. Go back and look at the private road action and let's start putting in fair compensation for the real value of condemnation through somebody's ranch. I urge that you defeat this amendment.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I just have some questions for the sponsor on the second time. You know, I'm not sure this amendment does either of the things that have been referenced. I'm trying to understand it. It leaves intact, this amendment leaves intact the fact that you would have to have a 60-foot right-of-way for all public ways within the proposed subdivision in this new area, which is going to be the area adopted by the county commission. It'll be something greater than 35 acres and could be a maximum of 140 acres. For public ways, which is the last word on line 24, that's still there. But the sponsor of the amendment is adding some more language that says after ways or a minimum access roadway of 30 feet to the subdivision for any private road. So he sort of left in the two areas, a public road of 60 feet and a private road of 30 feet. I think that's probably what he's intending to do here, and I look forward on a second time. I'm not sure, and I can't tell you how this interplays with the private road statute. It seems that when you come in to do your subdivision, you would be designating part of the roads as public and part as private. Concerns that I might have is that what's a private road might turn into a public road as later parts are developed, for example, or that you might overuse the designation road. I don't know what a private road means. Does that serve one house, two house, three house? When does it become public? I don't know where that happens, and maybe the sponsor can tell me. In regards to the efforts of other counties to require easements for different things, I point out one thing. This doesn't affect the small subdivision requirements, and I can't tell you what the 35-acre or less roadway width is. Maybe the sponsor can tell us whether it's 60 or 50, but I can't tell you. But this wouldn't impact that for those subdivisions. That's a different part of law. And whether the county could enact a minimum requirement less than this because they by resolution adopt this body of law, I can't tell you that one either. So I've got a lot of good questions. I'm a little skeptical, I guess, and if we could hear maybe from a couple other people before the sponsor takes a second time, that might clear some of these questions up.
Senator Nicholas, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. President. I did want to add with respect to the reason for subdivisions requiring wider width roads is so that as you grow, you have a minimum amount of right-of-way for emergency vehicles, for the expanded use. And this goes to the issue as to when are you going to impose on the developer the cost of the real cost of these developments? And the answer is plan it at the time you subdivide. So it is worthwhile goal to say if you're going to begin the subdivisions, let's have at least the right-of-ways available so that we can develop these roads, we can pave them when the time comes, so that you can have emergency vehicles so they can actually be suitable for the real purposes. But the private road condemnation action, it was intended just for that, for private roads to get through and to get to ranches. And the notion was is that what we are going to do is restrict the right to use for a private person to use the condemnation authority of the state to limit it to simply private roads of 35 feet. And we have no provision right now for a private person to use the condemnation the processes of the state for subdivision roads. And there is other vehicles to condemn at that. The county can always come in and use the county's condemnation powers to create a county road. And those generally generate more compensation and more fair compensation. But the private road process to condemn for a private road is exactly for that. It was never intended to use that right to condemn for subdivision purposes.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. President, rising on and against the amendment, I think it's important to keep in mind, again, where we're at and what we're doing with subdivisions. When we have a subdivision, we have a plat, entailed in that is as you plan and as you present this to the, as you would be presenting this to the County Commission, and the zoning, planning and zoning authority, you'd come in with your plat that would provide, and this is the important part, all public roads, in this case, you're going to want to have at least a 60-foot minimum right-of-way. What that is so that when you have a, when you have a public, keep in mind that these are going to be public, but not necessarily county roads, and there's a big difference. County roads are adopted and accepted by the county, and the county has a responsibility to maintain those. A public road is just one that's available to the public, and so it's, and you're going to want public roads for emergency access. As you look at that, zoning issues are going to have, how can you get in there? Are you able to get a fire truck around? Can you turn it around? Can you get emergency vehicles in there? How are you going to do those things? And so you're going to want to have those public roads. The private drives or a private road is a different matter. And in the zoning context, the private roads are typically where you're going to have a very defined, a short cul-de-sac kind of a thing where there's three or four houses down at the end of a private drive. So I don't believe that this is intended to substitute or preempt or otherwise change the condemnation for a private right-of-way. I believe that they're two different things. Again, what you're doing here is you're providing the overall lay that what's going to be required for subdivisions, and all this simply addresses the way that it is now without the amendment. It says if you're going to have a public right-of-way, it's got to be at least 60 foot. And that's pretty much a standard you're finding now because you're looking for shoulders, you're looking for potentially curb, you're looking for the ability to turn around, you're looking for all those access that you're going to need, garbage trucks getting down. Those types of things are all important when you start these types of subdivisions. And so that's why it's there, and I don't believe that you're going to be impacted. It doesn't affect private roads at this point in time, and it's probably best to just leave it where it is now.
Further discussion before the sponsor takes his second shot. Further discussion? Senator Larson.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with that, and I agree with a good friend from Laramie County. I said in the beginning what I'm trying to point out to you is the quandary that are left with some people that may have a parcel that they can't get to. We only allow 30 feet. We only allow the towns and the counties to give them 30 feet. Should the road for a subdivision, if it's going to be a large subdivision, remember this is large track, doesn't have to say the numbers, doesn't have to be large numbers. It isn't necessarily a large subdivision, it is a large track subdivision. I would suggest to you that the very problem that was brought up by the good senator from Laramie is a part of the problem. They can't go, they should pay more. But as you know, that's one means of stopping any kind of development of land that is out there. Because if the only access to your property is through where someone doesn't want to sell, the county, you can go to the county, they can get you a road, but it can only be 30 feet. So if you want to apply this to them, it requires 60 feet. If you want a large land track development, do I think 30 feet is enough? Absolutely not. I agree with all you're saying. The trouble is there is no recourse. There is no recourse for that owner of that piece of land up there to develop his land. Therein is the problem that I was really attempting to point out. I'm not sold on 30 feet. But I also know that if the only thing you can get because of your surrounding is only 30 feet, there is, for all practical purposes, a taking in that can't be met due to conflicts within the law. I don't want to change the 60 feet. I'm not arguing about that. I'm not even arguing about whether...
Further announcements? If I could I have one of the members of the Revenue Committee make the announcement in regard to the two bills that we're going to deal with tomorrow? Senator Jennings, would you do that for me, please?
Mr. Vice President, the Revenue Committee will meet February 14th, tomorrow, 20 minutes after the lunch recess. We will be looking at bills, Senate File 28, Investment of State Funds Revisions, Senate File 49, Impact Assistance Payments.
Thank you, Senator Jennings. Are there other announcements? You've heard the motion. All those in favor to adjourn until tomorrow morning, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. We are adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Whether it should be there to try to get more compensation, I think.